Welcome back to T-Touch for You Online, Cellular Wisdom. Today is January 19th, 2020, and this is hour three of our class.
Thank you, Sandy. So one of the things, we have quite a few people on this in this group who have been to T-Touch classes years ago and came back in, or maybe did one horse class or dog class in between, and some of you who have much experience with this work. And for those of you with much experience, I'd love you to just look at ways of honing how you talk about this work. For those of you who haven't been in it for a long time, what we've done over the years is find a way of really logically explaining this work. And when I first started T-Touch 1983, and I came to the point we first had like touches, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The first touch was the clouded leopard, that what we now call the clouded leopard, and the whole hand, which was number two. We had number one was clouded leopard, number two. We had up to five, and we got to touch six. I thought, oh my goodness, we can't, how are we going to do this? I mean, you can't remember it because it's just memorizing. And I was leading a group to Australia where I used to do like once a year, lead a guided journey somewhere. And Marnie Reeder was in the mornings. We were in Australia. We were all in tents on this big ranch. And we'd get up early in the morning and she would lead us through Tai Chi. And she was having these beautiful names for the movements, the cloud and the horse, and for these various Tai Chi movements. And I thought, that's what we need to do. We need to give names to the touches. And so I started to name them after animals I had worked on. And so pull it up now, Sandy, because this is a beautiful mind map that Sandy made with the colors. And this is based on Tony Bussan's mind mapping, and it's important to have the colors. Now, ideal would if we also had images of these, and we've got to find somebody who knows how to put those little images, because Lisa did a beautiful job. I don't know if you have that one handy to look at the animals. I'd just like to bring the spirit of the animals up.
Yep, let me.
But we can't put them together because they're two different styles, and we need somebody who knows how to take those little pictures and make them in a circle and put them on the end of the line of the. Interesting, isn't it? Now, those of you are not acquainted with mind mapping, it activates both hemispheres of the brain, and by reading it from the right to the left, and by activating the right brain with the images, the colors, and the left brain with the, you know, logical process of doing it and specific parts. Now, so these are the fun images that Lisa found, and we just need to put those in circles and put them on the end. Ha ha, just. When Karen's here, she may be able to show you how to do that. Now let's go back to the other one, because these names that we have, if we, at first you think, oh my gosh, I can't remember all of those names. But the fact is, as you use each part of the various touches on your hand, or on your body rather, the various parts of the hands, like the clouded leopard, and we bring the spirit of a leopard. It was a young clouded leopard that I worked on in the LA Zoo many years ago. When we bring the spirit of the animals in, we're connecting to nature. And I'd like to remind you of this. Is it possible, Sandy? Is it hard for you to bring up the fig tree with the words in it from the fig tree message? Ah, look at my gosh. So I'm going to read this first, because I want us to remember this concept that there is a nature deficit syndrome, that we're not connected to nature, that when we bring in this message of the fig tree, and we're going to put it up here in a moment, but we delve into the core messages. This is a book of voices of nature, a booklet that I've put together with messages from nature. It's Linda brings a special type of simple touch that reminds each person of his or her perfection and oneness with divine spirit and all it is. And what Martin mentioned about Atlantis, this came from a past life regression that I did. Am I crazy? This came from a message I personally got that I wrote in my journal from this tree that I'm sitting in. That's me up in this tree in Australia, 1982. And this idea, welcome to the world of those who promise to make a difference in the world. This is something that I got in a past life regression. This idea that some point when the planet was again at a tipping point, because I saw myself at the end of Atlantis and we were thousands of people together carrying these big crystals, taking them around the world to plant them, to put them in earth, to be hold that information at some point. And the promise was that at some point when the planet is once again at a tipping point, which we are definitely at a tipping point, if you know anything of what's going on in the oceans particularly, we would find our way back together, and each one would bring a special gift. Each of you have gifts. And my gift would be a simple type of touch that would, when you did it, it would remind you of your connection to oneness, for oneness and all that is. And, but each would connect in their own way to this oneness. And one way is through these circular touches. So it's just when we bring the spirit of the animals in, this is one of our ways of connection to nature. And the fig tree really wants me to give that message. Can you bring up the other one that we have with a basic core message on the tree? And this is, by the way, on the site, right?
Yes, it is. That'll take me a minute because I wasn't expecting to pull that one up.
Okay, well, let's not, then it's not meant to be. We'll do it next time. It's basically a message from the tree that I wrote as I was going to be with the tree in Australia. This is a tree that Michael Rhodes first received the book, Talking with Nature, by Michael Rhodes, from this tree. And as I approached the tree, the core message was, after about 5 minutes of me writing, was that recognizing the God within is only the start. That the kingdoms of the plants and the animals and the minerals and the nature spirits are recognized as one with us is the key, not only to survival, but to heaven on earth. And this heaven on earth is when we recognize our connection to all that is, and we choose to give our will to the good rather than separating from that left brain separation where we're in full control. So this is where tea touch is such a gift, because when we imagine the circles, imagining activates the right brain. Now, for all those of you who have heard it before and know it and teach it, I would just love to have, I wish somebody would jump in and say it, but the reason that I am so passionate about teaching this work and other gifts in it is in each 1 1/4 circles. When we imagine the circle, this, which is a spiral, we activate the right brain. The movement activates the right brain. When we see these mind maps in the color and art, and when we do our drawings and our visualizations and our daydreaming and our journeying into the forest, all that activates the right brain. Now we need the left brain in order to function in this world. And the 1 1/4, anything to do with numbers or methods, activates the left brain. It's very logical. It's very simple. That's in chapter 4 of Michael Rhodes' book. Oh my gosh. Oh, thank you. Entering. I couldn't get the word. Entering the Secret World of Nature. In chapter 4, Michael writes about this in a way that I just love, about the activation of left and right hemispheres. And one of the importance, the reason it's so important to activate that right brain, is that is what is responsible for our feeling. When you're only logically oriented, we're taught not to feel. Feeling is not safe. Emotions are not safe. And this is one of the things when we started talking about this with our emotional connections with our mothers. Whoa, that's emotion, not a safe place, right? So this beautiful 1 1/4 circle, all of this activates the feeling, our creativity, our intuition, our connection with all it is, and my dear friends, our compassion. And without compassion, wow, it's a different world. And that's what this is in, every 1 1/4 circle. And that's why I continue to be so passionate, because all you have to do is do them, teach them, feel them, and experience them. So what I'd like to do now is just look at this collection of, again, of the circles, of the touches. And don't be overwhelmed if you don't know them. Thank you. And if Sandy wasn't so good with both left and right hemispheres, she couldn't do all this. It's such a gift. So all of these different touches are simply different ways of parts of the hand that we use. And if we're going to just take a few moments, and I'm going to ask some of you who are any of these that you see, the spirit of the horse we're not going to talk about this time. We'll do it the next time, because it's a new recognition that I brought in thanks to Sandy's horse, Ibis, who passed a month or so ago and is part of her ongoing amazing connection through her animal communication course. The abalone, the lying leopard, which I've been using a lot of on my arm, a lot of. The clouded leopard, the raccoon, the bear. Bear touches what we use to go deep into the body. When somebody says, I want deep pressure, you go in with the bear touch. And the tiger touch is even a broader area in the same depth. And then the chimp, baby chimp and the chimp, it's something that the chimp, I just want to show you, is between the first and second joint. And I did a lot of work with Roland last week. He woke up with a pain in his hip. And in 10 minutes, by asking him for feedback for what the pain level was when he started, what pressure he wanted, what tempo he wanted, in 10 minutes, there was no more pain. Then I said, any other parts? Yes, his shoulder hurts him a lot, and I know it really worries him. So in 15 minutes, using a lot of chimp, it's about a 2 pressure, that went from about a 5 to a 1 and then disappeared. Now I'm telling you this because you can do this to yourself, but I really encourage you also to reach out to your family and friends and experience this work in this way. Using, now we'll just pull up the next one, the pressure and the tempo. The 9 elements. Isn't it? This looks like an octopus, isn't it? Because taking the little like the basic circle, the 1 1/4 circle, that does what I just talked about, activating both hemispheres. And the pressure from 0.5, half, where you're just kind of almost just moving, like feeling the hair of the, on your body, and to your 10, and the tempo and speed, the pause, really important, the connections between the touches, and boo, I really found that changed when I had so much pain at first in my, and fear in my fracture of my shoulder. The, how we stand, how we move, the breath, and the intention. And I really, this intention of remember your potential for ideal function, now, at the level of cellular wisdom. That's our intention when we touch ourselves or someone else. And the feedback, which I talked about before, and we'll talk about more. More pressure, less pressure, faster, slower. And if that, and then experience different parts of the hand, and it's just all those parts of the hand were just all different ways of you using your body. When you don't, your hand rather, when you don't know them in the beginning, just turn your hand around and use different parts. And in the next next week, next month, what I'd like to do is just start bring in the different hand positions and play with that. And in the meantime, I invite you to play with moving different, using different parts of your hand. And what does that feel like? So if I can just have just a little bit of feedback from questions, any question that comes up. And remember, in the Tellington method, there's no a dumb question. Or any thoughts that you have about what I just said about the techniques of the work. Because in order to use it the most effectively, the more awareness we have, the more effective we can be. Any thoughts? Questions?
I know for me, I just want to say about the mindful pause, the longer I do this work, the more I sink in. The mindful pause is a place where so much happens in between touches. It's where my body integrates at a different level and where my awareness comes in different ways, like different aspects of things come into my awareness, and pain shifts differently when I'm doing that mindful, real, like sometimes fairly long pauses.
Yep. And I mean, all of us who've been doing this work say, everybody I know, including, boy, really myself, the longer I do T-touch, the more years, the more amazement I have about the power of the pause. And in the pause, it's not a going away. It's staying present with that connection. And that's one of the reasons it's so powerful. When you get here, it's like 1 1/4 circle and stop and stay present and smile. And why do we smile? What does the smile do? Who wants to bring that forward for some of you who may not have heard this enough times to remember it? Why is it so, what does it do to our body? What does it activate? What is the hormone that is activated and the feeling?
Serotonin.
Yep. And thank you, Miss Sally. And the serotonin is the, how is it described? As the
feel good.
Yep, feel good hormone. Yeah. And that is activated by our smile. And what also apparently is activated is the oxytocin, what Bruce Lipton is now calling the trust hormone. And also when you slide the tissue, move the tissue gently over the fascia, that also activates the serotonin lightly when you do it lightly. So I just want a couple more like questions, thoughts, input, feelings, or experiences with just a couple more experiences with T-Touch that you have had either since the last class or overall period. Valentina.
Oops, hold on. No, I'm unmuted.
You're unmuted.
Okay, thank you. I think I shared this last Saturday, but this is about self-touch, self-care. A couple years ago, and there's a big chunk of right after it happened and before it happened that I don't remember still. But what I have been told by a lot of people, nurses, the flight for life people, that kind of thing, was that during the helicopter ride and for about the first 2 weeks in the hospital that I don't remember, I was constantly massaging my ears. And so that even without a conscious, gee, I should probably be doing ear T-Touch to wake my brain up and get things unscrambled, my cellular wisdom that was what I should be doing. And even though I don't know that any of this is true, because I truly don't remember being there when this was happening, that's what I was doing. Nurses would come in my room and say, wow, you know, to other visitors, she does this all the time. She's massaging her ears.
Interesting. So that
without the knowing, I had the knowing.
Fascinating. Amazing.
Could I say one more thing?
Please do.
Yeah, it's brief. It goes back to the Abraham quote at the beginning of our meeting. What hit me like a gong was where it said about connecting with the source and then taking that deepest connection out. And it got to, you know, community, it got to government. And that hit me in the head. I live in a ranching community where about 86% or more who live here voted for the current president. And just last night, I was having a conversation with a friend who did vote for that president, who said that never before had she had a situation where in talking about politics with any friends in town, it would always get so angry that she had lost friendships over it, and that all kinds of other presidents in this way, they could be civilized and so on. And that what she was starting to feel, despite her support of the president, was that there was a basic energy of divisiveness that was starting to permeate all levels of our American society, and that this was very frustrating to her because she felt there was nothing she could do. Every time she just tried speaking to people about it, it turned into a fight. And that what she said came back to me with this Abraham quote. And I don't know if I can say this to her or show her the quote, but that for any of us who are frustrated with that energy that is part of the situation, to where every time you watch the news on television, you want to stick forks in your eyes, that
dear, yeah.
You go back in, go back out, and connect with the divine again, with the source again, and that the sort of shakedown illumination, cellular illumination, will come from reconnecting at that level, and that there's nothing that we have to do or say or persuade in others to fix the situation, but go back to that, and it will all, that peacefulness will then move outward.
And coming back into the, with the heart hug, and back into to recognizing that we are all part of this, we're all a part of the whole. And that, I mean, that I wasn't going to leave that last part in, because I thought, well, we're just talking about the body, but we are talking about everything in our lives. And if we can come back to that place of peace within. Yep, and prayer. Holding the possibility for the ideal function in ourselves and around us. So thank you. Any thoughts that this brings up about how you've dealt with something in your body or shared with another person, shared with a group, because that is, it is our desire that you also take this work and share it for self-help in your group. Some of you are already doing this, but we would love to hear from that.
Janelle put a question in the chat. Shall I read it?
Please.
It says, I have a question. One of my friends is so sensitive that he is almost borderline schizophrenic and gets confused when there's any type of prayer work through communication and meditation, that he has a hard time getting grounded, becomes confused and angry. So he's scared of the intention work. So I told him I would try not to be invasive and not send meditative prayers.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point, because when you say he gets angry, boy, I'm telling you, coming back to this sentence in the Course in Miracles that I read in 82 and it changed my life, is that aggression comes from a place of fear. And they, and to finish that sentence, and is a cry for help. And for us, we have to be so careful about how we use these words, because meditation can be really scary to people. Many people have, I understand that many people have been told, don't feel anything, like don't trust your feelings, don't trust your emotions. So we have to be really respectful of that. And this is where, Chanel, if you just bring a person without any of this consciousness, it may be way too much for some people, maybe too scary, but just giving them a sense of their body. What are the areas? How is there a way you can feel safe in your body, but with the 1 1/4 touches? And finding those places of safety. And we have to be so careful, I feel, of not overwhelming people with too much information. That's one of the beauties of T-Touch. You don't have to know any of this stuff. We have the opportunity to broaden our perspective, but we don't need to. Just with the 1 1/4 circles, reminding people, you don't have to not remind you of anything. Never mind. Just have them give feedback. Where would it feel safe on your body? How can you come into your body safely? How can you, and in the case of a person like that who's sensitive, Sandy, if you could write this down, I would like to share again the ways of creating our boundaries so that we don't take on stuff around us. We can be connected to the cellular wisdom, to all it is, but this vessel we want to keep safe and contained. How do we contain our borders? And I use like 4 different methods for that. And so keep it really simple. And this is where working with an animal, don't even work with himself. It's bringing and teaching T-Touch on a dog or a horse, just to give that dog or animal that a sense of themselves to feel safe in the world. And one of the things I want to remind you of, I'd love to see a show of hands, how many remember us talking about this, that we have discovered that the T-Touch can release fear at the cellular level by bringing us into that body. We don't have to say how. I know it's when we connect to that cellular wisdom, but we don't have to say that. It's too much for most. Keep it simple.
And would you say also in this case, for the person to learn the touches for himself and not, it's not about, not necessarily for Chanel to do it for someone who's highly sensitive.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Or Sandy, or on, if you have an animal there and he's interested in horses or dogs or, you know, so even on self, maybe too much. And I've worked with groups with people who have been abused. And if they were reach out and they work on a horse learning T-Touch, that can bring them into that place of balance in themselves without having the challenge and the fear of touching themselves even in the beginning.
I'm just aware of the time, Linda, and I want to check in with you. We wanted to have time for Eleanor and also for some stories to be shared from the chat from before, as well as all of the beautiful things that we're doing.
and so remember, we have more time than what it shows to the hour, of course, because of our extra. So I thank you. This is what we need to do. And I just wondered if there's any other thoughts or, and you might put them in the chat instead of, if you don't want to bring them in here, write them in the chat. Any thoughts from this or any questions from what we just said here? And if you could, maybe Jewel, you haven't said much, so bring it in. No. Oh, you were just changing. You didn't want to speak, right? Okay. So if you have any thoughts, write them in the chat. And Eleanor, I would just love to have you share some of these jewel connections with your mother and tell us about your mom. And let's take about, 10 minutes for this and then we'll share.
Oh, it's wonderful. My mother is a very, very special woman, and I would be nothing near what I am without her in my life. I came into the world a highly sensitive child and individual, like highly, highly sensitive to touch, sound, light, food, experience, expressions, sensing and feeling the world around me. Reading faces, everything. And if it weren't for her making it all so good with so much love, and my father too, without that, I would have been working on all my injuries the rest of my life, the emotional injuries. And instead, what I would love to share with you is some of the amazing sayings that my mother has. She is a Holocaust survivor. And so you would think that there's an attitude that goes with that. But I'm going to tell you, as my mother got shifted from family to family to family during the changes, I asked her one day, I go, how did you come through this? Such a whole human being. She goes, oh, Eleanor, it's so simple. I was loved. And she said, as a child, it doesn't matter that you have loss. It doesn't matter all these things so much as if you experience love, then you can grow that from there. And so she made a pact with my father, because neither of them had their families. They didn't know how to parent. And she made a pact that they would just make sure they're giving love. And so that's a huge thing. But my mother is so full of sayings that every time I'm with her, you know, she doesn't remember the short things in front of her. She doesn't remember what she said a few moments ago. She doesn't remember whether she ate, you know, and things like that. But what's inside is amazing. And so I actually caught a couple of these sayings recently. And she said, she says, you know a nation by the way parents touch and listen to their children. So be nice. And she taught, you know, because we've been, this is rounding up a lot of things that were said today. Linda, you had brought up that, you know, we have so much in this country that we don't know the touching from childhood. And she says, you know a nation by the way we touch and experience each other. This one she said recently, before you touch someone, first you must prepare your soul to touch.
And I think it's really important to understand who your mother is and what her background is, and the fact that you and she were doing Feldenkrais on each other for years, and that she is... she's not a rabbi, but she's as high as you can be in your, as a woman can be.
Yes. Back in those days, women were not allowed to be rabbis. So she became, as she studied and got her advanced degrees in religious studies from around the world, she became the rabbinical teacher to the rabbis in Los Angeles. So all those rabbis in LA were her students in rabbinical school, you know, but funny that women couldn't be. But she's like, that's okay. I am doing this so that in the future you will have the life to be able to do whatever you want. She also is part of the Feldenkrais family. She was Moshe Feldenkrais's cousin, and she was raised by his parents. She was raised in the home and raised by his mother, and a little bit by the father. She also studied from Eric Fromm and J. Jampolsky, Love is Letting Go of Fear, you know? And so, and as a Feldenkrais practitioner, she always, she's the one who taught me the awareness through movement lessons and the self work. My father did the functional integration, the hands-on part, because I had a lot of pain as a child. And so my dad was the hands-on guy. He was a mechanic. Why not? He did it well. And my mother, the teacher, taught. So that, you know, was an amazing, amazing household. And I'm so excited to get to go to her today. My mother also was deafened. She was deafened at the age of 8 from streptomycin when she was sick. And it damaged her hearing. And she lost basically all of her hearing. So the one place you could never touch on my body, because we worked on each other every week, we gave lessons. The one place you could never touch were her ears. Couldn't touch the ears. There was so much that was with that. But like Sandy said, how deeply special and important and connecting it was for her working with her mother through her feet. I spent years working with my mother through her neck, her head, her chest, the breathing, the shoulders, and all along here. She let me get so close. And there was a respect of acknowledgement. Just don't get here. I can let go of everything, just not that. And that was good enough. But you know, her hearing actually improved. Her hearing really improved when we got all of this around the neck. So there's also a saying, I just want to say something that she said to me a couple of weeks ago. She says, Ellie Nori, time comes and time goes. Make sure that you help people. That, and that's what we're doing in this work. We help ourselves to help people. And there, the time that Linda had injured herself and was here in my home, and Sandy came and Sage was here, on that next day, I had to go to my mom because she was recovering from pneumonia and she was teetering on the edge. And I told her, and I had to tell her many times because she forgets moment to moment, but I told her, Linda is at my house because Linda fell down an escalator and she was really badly hurt. And that's where that saying came from, is where she said, time comes and time goes. Make sure you help people. And she says, and because when you pass, and even when you're here on this earth, the universe, the higher than us, always knows and remembers that goodness that you put out into the world. She goes, don't worry, I can take care of myself. You go do this. This is what is important. You know, and I thought, these are the blessings. This is love. And we can give these stories back to ourselves. This is what you did for us as we walked through the forest early this morning, you know, with our mothers, that sometimes we can rewrite those stories and heal those stories generations back. And for me, was as I'm reading through everybody sharing their story of walking through the forest, you have these. And these become our healing. And when they become our healing, they become everyone's healing.
And that's really important. And one of the things that your mother said recently is create the moments, the memories. And when what you just said, this experience in the forest is something I've never taken that time with my mom, and I probably most of you hadn't either. And these are memories that we create. And what I want to honor you for, Eleanor, and what I was hoping for all of us from this time together would be that we would relook at our relationships with our mothers or with our daughters. For those of you who have daughters, I have friends who are disconnected from their daughters. They don't speak. They haven't for quite some time. And that we can, instead of feeling frightened or upset, or if we can reach out, connect to their higher selves and connect with the higher being and just hold love. I mean, this concept of Jerry Jampolsky, this love is letting go of fear, it's one of the most important concepts in the beautiful, simple way that he has put that. And if you don't know the book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, Jerry Jampolsky put this, I mean, out into the world, and they've managed it. It's in many, many countries through his work. And this concept of, like, I work to be really careful in our process. Like, maybe you can take your mother's hand and maybe you can just walk with her. That's already for some a lot. And what I want to acknowledge you for, Eleanor, being in your mom, is that there are other people who have mothers who have dementia. And I've seen it, and they get really impatient with them. You don't remember, and they don't understand. And being able to understand the fact that you can't remember, that's not who the being is. And to be able to see our mothers, because what makes us react, it's our fear what's going to happen to them, that they don't know me. And one of the simple things I want to put out to you, years ago, I remember in one of our, years ago, in a dog class, somebody came to me, and it was after her first session, and she said that her grandmother had dementia, had Alzheimer's, and that she hadn't recognized anyone in the family for quite some time. And when she went to her, she just took her hand, which I had suggested, and did a couple of touches on, as she reached out, just a couple of touches on her arm, and her mother turned to her and said, "Oh, it's you, Lisa." And this has happened to several people over the years as I told this story. And the fact that you don't even see that in your mother, and that we have to be, you have to be, as you know, patient with your others in the family that recognize that they are in a state of fear and they can't see that beauty in her. Mm-hmm. That when we get impatient with our families who are in that situation or ourselves, if we can go back to the simplicity of connecting with that cellular wisdom and connecting with that soul of that being who maybe can't remember.
You know, I'm glad that you said that, because there's something that she said to me a couple of weeks ago. She kept asking me the same question, like for about 25 minutes. And at one point, after all the ways of saying it again and again, I finally kind of went like this and I buried my head, you know, like in my hands. And she saw my frustration and she looks across the table and she says for me, "You think I don't know I can't remember? Of course I'm aware I can't remember, but I'm just hoping that you'll keep reminding me so I can stay here present in this conversation, because I want to be here with you in this moment. So please have your patience." And I just was like, wow. And I looked at her and I said, "You mean you know that you don't remember?" She goes, "Of course I know I don't remember. I'm just hoping your healing in you is to remember I don't remember, but I want to be here with you in this conversation and not pretend."
And the thing is, I mean, this really brings, you know, such a feeling of emotion to me, because I remember years ago when the mother of one of my friends was really losing it, and people and family would yell at her for this and not understand. And we all need help, for the siblings, for other people who don't understand. And I want to do a Zoom session with you on this for dealing with dementia, because we all need it, because it is scary and frustrating. And so if we can find a place in our heart, and that's where heart hugs come in, and that's where the mouth touch comes in, because that fear that we're all holding, that we can release, we can, first of all, acknowledge the fear that we have. When you have to say it over and over and over and over, and it's frustrating, it's scary, you become impatient. This is our, this, though, that statement from your mom, and she's had a couple like this, you all, that are so precious to us, because many, many are dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. And we can, with this bringing the presence without scaring the person, you can bring them, as Diana Gidding, who's with us, well knows, in a couple of touches, as the person is even carrying on or emoting or not present, you can make that incredible difference. So I want to talk to you about, we're going to do a special session and put it out on YouTube, because this is a really important, what we can do with our heart, our mind, and our T-touch.
You want me to show you a quick picture of my mama, Les?
Of course we do.
It goes forever. 92.
And the sessions of presence, we'll put it out. We'll let you know when we're all doing this, because Eleanor has some beautiful videos with her mom showing that presence that is there, that others, her siblings, don't believe her mother is even conscious of what she's saying. And you will be amazed. And we all need to hear this. And we can all send love to all of you who are dealing with this, because I know some of you who are. Connect at the soul level, connect at the cellular wisdom level, connect at the heart level. And by supporting each other, and this is our dream of being able to bring a community together where we could be heard and we can dare to share our fears and our miracles. So this is a miracle for me to be able to hear you, Mom, as I have over the past years, and to have her bring these amazing levels of consciousness where it doesn't look to others who don't listen or see that there's no consciousness there. So thank you.
Thank you.
Could we hear a few now of the sharings from our moms? And Sandy, if you could read a few, and anyone else who wants to read a few, and Eleanor, stay with this feeling. And anybody who has feelings about this, if you want to write it in the chat right now, because it may be too much to talk about it, but by writing about it, we can share this. And I would like to put this, I'd like to put it in our closed Facebook page that Sandy will talk about at the end.
So this is from Amy. She widened my chakras with spiraling softness of an almost undetectable touch, similar to watching cotton candy widening on a long cone. I received deepest love, nurturing, and endorsement of the path I'm on, providing me with a widened golden roofless tunnel so as to guide and ease my journey forward. Soft, continuous winds continually caress the outsides of this calm, golden-lit corridor, as if time and messages were plentiful in the whispers of the winds and voices. Some song-like sounds, but unintelligible to my mind at this time. Downloads of generational messages and feelings of love. It was like the winds of the ages against me, but touching the skin of the brilliantly golden path and not me. I am filled in a more whole, less porous perimeter, but one that allows for my choice of what to let in, my being to affect me, and the strength to allow some energies to pass by me instead of affecting, hurting, or challenging me. Thank you for this life-protecting, nurturing, and memorable safety.
Wow, Amy, thank you. This has got to be so helpful for you. And thank you for sharing that, because I know the challenges. Some of them, I know some of the challenges, and to have this ability and go back into the forest anytime, just put yourself there.
Yeah, I was thinking that I am going to want to listen to this particular journey over and over, because each time it will bring something else forward. There's some other comments that are mixed in. From Betty, I've been connecting with my intestines since the beginning of December, imagining two white paws doing a very light, soft, fluffy touch on me, all down my esophagus, stomach, intestines, and all the way out. Every night before bedtime, first times I needed to go to the toilet, it soothes some kind of tension I have within me. Wow.
Beautiful. And those are the things we practice, sharing them. It's really, it's an amazing gift that we have. And that, the whole intestinal area, that's so important. I mean, this, you know, we don't think about these intestines much, and they're so important to the function of our body. And being able to do this horseshoe up from the right side up to the down to the left side. Don't cross over. It's really useful, like up the right side and down the left, and then start over again. And I love that image of the soft paws, and find your own image. I did it years ago when I sent a bunch of, I saw a bunch of elves in there shoveling snow and cleaning it out. I did that one in the 70s. And find your own way. Like, see, how can you clear that and talk? Because one of the things I'd like to bring up, if it's right in the next one, Sandy, I want to talk about this life of bacteria, because it's so important to acknowledge the good bacteria and the bacteria that isn't so good for us, not just transmute them to light, but acknowledge them, because it's all part of life within us. Now, do another one, and then I want to give room to see if anybody has experiences or thoughts or questions or comments. Let's do one another one.
Looking.
Eleanor, if you're back with us enough to catch what you catch, then I wanted you to stay in that moment for a bit.
Here's from Joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt a divine spark connecting my whole line of mothers. I felt drawn to do mirror tea touch on both sides of my body, and felt my mother was on the side of the following tea touch. I'm not sure I know what that means. At the end, I felt her become sparkly, and the message, "Now we are whole," came to me. My mother died 22 years ago. She was in a coma for the last few months of her life, and I gave her tea touch on every visit. I got the clear message that this was a great comfort to her. I feel a circle has been completed within me now. I can't describe how profound this feels.
I see Ruby. Any thoughts on helping me? Let me read that. Yes. Helping me. Wait, sorry, I've got to find the right chat. Do you have her? Okay, I can't find it here.
No, it's home. Message.
First of all, I'm trying to find this from Ruby.
And Linda, we want to remember that James is going to
play. At the very end.
Oh, good. Thank you.
No, I'm well aware of that. Thank you. But we're not there yet. Remember, we go longer. We go to the half hour. But Ruby, can you find that question from Ruby? She needs help. I can't find it in the chat.
I don't know. I see Wendy and Francis had one, and one from Gary.
No, I'm looking first for Ruby. Sorry, I just...
Yeah, I'm just saying. And Adrian.
Ruby, do you want to come on and just tell me? Tell us?
The message is the next to the last one that I have.
Okay, next to the last one.
Yeah, and it said, any thoughts on helping me with Lyme? I do tea touch daily.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's what I couldn't see. So with Lyme disease, it's something that I've been following for 20 years. Kate Reardon has been 6 years in bed with it. She's tried a lot of things. There's... Leora Gaster, I want to make this, because many of you, probably all of you, know somebody with Lyme disease. I have one friend who's been dealing with it with heavy doses of antibiotics, and she's been functioning fully as a therapist for more than 20 years, and it keeps it at bay enough to function. Another friend of mine, who teaches all the time, and what she said, she leads big classes, and she said she was just beside herself because she had no energy. She was desperately fighting to keep going, and she tried everything with Lyme's internationally, nationally, and she has it under control with bee therapy. And you can look this up, Ruby, and see if that And any of you are interested, actually, she just let me know if you want to know this, because it's Leora Gaster, and she's very willing to help anyone. She gets these bees sent to her, and she has a little beautiful little bee house, and the bees go in there, and she takes them and puts them on her spine. And what the bees are able to do, and you can Google this, what the bees do, the venom from the bees go through the the part that the spirochete are so amazing. These bacteria are so brilliant that they can protect themselves and they can't be found, but the bee venom goes in and kills them. And she says she's functioning normally after years of dealing with this. Now, there's one other thing, and we have to remember to put this up in the chat, because it's worth looking at for anybody, Ruby, for you to look at. Kate Reardon just bought some reasonably, not expensive, like not even $50 a month, new some sort of medication that apparently is killing the Lyme. And it comes out of Canada. And if you will, somebody's got to remind me. So I call Kate and get the name of it, and then we post it on the Facebook site. She hasn't tried it herself, but look at it and see if it's something that speaks to you, because it certainly can. And I want to talk to you about your use of Beamer, because I know a person who was just in devastated condition. It is totally normal from the Beamer, but you use it more than the protocol. So let's talk about that. There, my friend Kate, who's been in bed 6 years, she went to Mexico for 3 weeks of treatment, and it didn't work for her, but it wasn't fair, because I don't think it's a fair trial of it. But anyway, it didn't work. And she's tried like all kinds of antibiotics and all of this various stuff. It's possible that she's dealing with much more than just Lyme disease. Could be that other diseases are there too that have to be looked at. But you don't have her situation, Ruby. So let's can you just tell us what you have done so far for it? You must have been, how long you've had it? Just because this is such a huge problem for so many people I know. You've only had it a year, wow. And let me give you hope, by the way, before your talk. I have a friend who was in bed in Germany, could not move for a year. She couldn't feed herself, she couldn't stand the sunlight, nothing. And she made a decision that she was going to get over it. And she somehow got herself up, got herself moving, and she's totally free of the effects of Lyme today. So much so that at the university in Munich, they want her to talk to other people with it, but she doesn't want to go there. Because I'm telling you, these spirochete, they are so brilliant. You just don't know. I have another friend who was in bed 5 years, totally normal now. So there is hope. That is the important thing to do. And what will work for you is what. So I've tried antivirals, and now why am I not good at reading these chats? Now a
mushroom and herb protocol.
Ah.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Well, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if that's what Kate is doing. Because they're, you know, and I have another friend who's, her husband's a doctor, and she's gone all over the United States, tried everything, and not doing well. Now, one of the things I'd like to say about this, what just came to me this second, this is where gratitude has to come in. Look at the parts that are feeling well. Get in there and call in a guide, Ruby, to go with you and talk to the spirochete. Mm-hmm. Go into the body, search for the areas that what's functioning well with you. Start bringing awareness to that. And what I'd like to do now, just in these last few minutes that I want to take, is go back at this point. Just let's sit back a moment. And I want you to reconnect with your body, just sitting right there in your own homes. And I would like you in your own way to just move all over your body, wherever you want. I'm not even going to lead you in the body blessing this time. I'm going to ask you to first make the outlines with the body blessing, just very briefly, and then allow yourself to tell you where would your cells like your hands. Oh, with the back of the, you know, with the back of the hand, with a chimp touch, just folding your fingers back for those who don't know the names yet, and using gently between the first and second joints, whatever. Just make up a connection for the 1 1/4 circles. And it may be with a quarter back, 1 1/4, pause, 1/4 back. And it may be counterclockwise. And I'd like us to take this time together to have the collective consciousness here. Acknowledge, smile at the outline. And see this beautiful vessel containing all of these cells. And then close your eyes and allow your hands, your cells to guide you. Just move your hands around. You're not sure how to do it, just move your hands around. See where you take them, your hands. Breathe, smile, celebrate. Be sure to bring thanks into the touches, thanks to the areas. And respect. And really feel the clarity of 1 1/4 movements of the skin. And just pay attention to what part of the hand now you're using. And what part of your body, where the cell is saying, I would like more attention. here. And please then go to the chat and honor your body, honor your cells by acknowledging what they tell you, where they would like more attention. And just note the type, the part of the hand. And light pressure or deeper or faster or slower. Make it simple. And it's good if you don't want this shared, you can, I guess you can put privately. I can't even see where I wrote my name. Like, oh, but it doesn't have my name. I really want to put my name on it, but you don't have to at all. Okay, so what I would really give an opportunity for, just if there's any of you who would like to share the message from yourselves, just know that each time you dare to share, it manifests more strongly in yourself what you're getting. You're honoring yourself, and it's a great gift to others. So if there's anybody, and it's here energetically, but is there anybody who would be willing to share? So before we bring James and his song in, Sandy, could you remind people how they go to the Facebook site and make sure that they know how to access the information and the or where you're writing it. You don't have to explain it now, but where you're going to write it to make sure they can get into the replay of this. And what I'd like to do, if anybody is interested, some of you may not even know about it, in March from the 12th to the 17th, Sandy and Ellen and I are coming together here in Hawaii and for a retreat, a Tea Touch for You retreat. And if anybody wants to join us, I'm giving a 20% discount for the tuition if you're in this class. And we're going to try at least once to reach out to you to invite you all in to share some of what's going on in that week. So we'll be with you in spirit. And Sandy, how they get to the Facebook site? Because the other day we had a hard time finding the Tea Touch for You on my Facebook.
So in the emails for this class, the last two reminders and most of the emails that have been going out, at the bottom, it says Facebook group access. And I know, Linda, you asked me to change the name, but I haven't done that yet.
Right, I know.
And when that does get changed, this address would change with that. So to avoid confusion for right now, the access is, maybe Eleanor, you could type it in the chat while I'm reading it, because I'm reading it from my phone. It is https://www.facebook.com/groups/, and then the letters TT, the number 4, the letter U, body wisdom. So that information is in your membership site. Thank you. Perfect. It does come in your emails. I do keep that in your emails at the bottom. And to get into the membership site, there's a series of things, and I will resend that email because that's way too linear for where I am right now.
Right. So I want to thank you all for being here, and thank Sandy for all the hours we put into this, and Eleanor and Sandy for this. I couldn't possibly do this without this amazing collaboration that we found, and all of you. And I so appreciate you, all of you, those of you who are new with us or new in this online, and those of you who've been for years. It's just like such a treasure for me. And I want to introduce James. And I wonder what it would be really nice if we could just give you must have a Facebook or a way to connect it, because James does these wonderful, beautiful workshops, but it's more than that. I don't know what James, if I could just have you, because you've done this for us before, if you could just, do you mind saying a little bit about yourself? So we can appreciate you.
Sure. I have the fortune of being able to sing to both children and adults. And you can find me just with my name, jameschatower.com. and you'll learn all about my musical work with children and adults. And recently have been had the fortune of being with my mother at her death, and of course music was very much a part of the balm for all of us, and I know that she was listening.
And can you, Sage, can you write that address in the chat? And based on this, all the work that they've been doing together and this last piece, they're starting a really supportive organization for knowing how to be with passing, because it's a whole other subject that I've just had the great honor of being with my dad for the month before, and some of you have had that. And so what you're doing is really precious.
Thank you, Linda. We're excited. We've started a joint venture called I Love You Goodbye. And for celebrating different transitions that people are going through, weddings, conscious uncoupling, and end of life for both people and animals. And I'm going to be heading to San Diego the week after his mom's funeral and taking some death doula training. And his mom was lucky enough to hear this song before she passed. He sang it 4 hours before she passed away. And what a lucky mom to have this music come out of her.
So let's just all imagine that we're back in the forest and we've got our mothers there with us, and call in the grandmothers and the other whole lineage, and sit and just let's imagine that we're there in the forest with James, with us, playing this song for our moms.
And the words are as if my mom is speaking.
Hearts, bring your mums into their hearts.
I'm not worried. God is faithful. In God's promises, I have found my rest. I've been waiting for this journey. I am thankful and I leave with no regret. I see Jesus. I see angels. I see family on a distant shore. I am traveling to be with them in the brightest light I've ever seen before. I'm going home. I'm going home. Now I know that everything is in God's hands. I'm going home. I'm going home. Going home to where the singing never ends. Life is learning to be grateful in the sun and rain. I know I've been blessed. I am thankful. Yes, God is faithful. Hear me singing, come Lord Jesus, be our guest.
says, I'm going home, I'm going home. Now I know that everything is in God's hands. I'm going home, I'm going home. Going home to where the singing never ends. Going home to where the singing never ends.
Thank you, James. And I want to feel, just stay in this forest scene connection and feel us all gathered together around with our mothers around James and with your mother for her passing. And take leave as each one of you will from your mothers. Give thanks for this 3 hours we've had together. And then come back into your homes to just look at each other, smile. I'm going to ask you to close this third hour. Then I'm going to ask for those of you who wish to stay a little bit, I would like to share just one story of helping somebody across.
Oh, my cue. Okay. So we'll close this recording, yeah?
Thank you.